Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's a cold day outside, but it's sunny and Cher. But I'm inside, so I guess once I get outside today, I'll really notice. But today, we're going to talk about women's basketball, particularly at my alma mater, Queens College, part of the City University of New York. Yes, this has been a long-time thing with the women's basketball team. And so we're going to be, what's going to happen is that we're going to... That was Esther and Eunice, and they, you know, my rubber chickens, and they wanted to get in on this anyway. Let's just get Bette on the air right now and talk with her. Hi, Bette.
Hey, Merle. How are you?
Okay. My rubber chickens had to say hello. I'm sorry. They have their own blog, and you know they have to get in on everything. So. By the way, I had to talk about Small World. I mentioned about one of the Sharks players who like played for the first time and then, you know, broke records.
Yes.
Well, your coach there knows her. They graduated together.
Oh, wow.
He looked at this insignia on my jacket and said, "Do you know?" And he said the name, and I went, "Yeah, oh, I graduated with her. Look at that.
Well, there you go, small world."
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get into this entire thing. Well, first of all, you know what I forgot to ask you? I forgot to ask you whether, is this a 5-on-5?
What do you mean
When you're playing, I know there's a team of 12.
No. It's 5-on-5.
5-on-5. Because I think that's one of the things I'd written about regarding Lucille Cavallos was, I guess it used to be something else, and she changed it.
Well, I think in her first year here, it was 6-on-6.
Okay.
And you know, there were rules and restrictions for some of the players. Some of the players couldn't cross half court and play on the offensive end, et cetera. So she played under those rules for 1 year. But she was definitely a pioneer in changing all facets of women's basketball.
So does anybody play 6-on-6 at all?
No, I mean, not anymore.
Okay, so it has nothing to do whether you're in college or high school or professional or whatever, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, I was just kind of wondering. Okay, so, you know, I thought to myself afterwards, oh, you're great, you got 12 players. you still have other people on the sidelines to use. Okay, so let's get into what I want is, let's talk about this last season and what you plan to do this season. So what was last season like?
You know, yeah, last year was a great year for us. I think it was the best year that Queens College women's basketball had in about 30 years. So we finished 20-8, and we got as high as a number 9 NCAA East Region ranking. And then we had a few players that won several accolades, both regionally and locally. So it was a great year, kind of as a team and for some of the individuals on our team. And, you know, we have six returning players, so the core of our team is returning, and we've got six newcomers. So, you know, we're hoping to take another step forward. So we missed the NCAA tournament by one bid, one ranking. You need to be top eight in your region to go to the NCAA tournament. So we fell one ranking spot short. So, you know, we're hoping to try to get top eight this year and win the conference.
Now, also, we were talking about that there's, like, I don't know whether you call it, like, two tiers or something, because there's, like, you were saying it's not, like, the same as like, the women at St. John's. Why is...
Right, so there's actually three divisions, Merle. So there's Division I, Division II, Division III. So there you go. Not very creative, 1, 2, and 3. your Division I typically has, you know, a lot more resources than your Division II. So most Division II schools are partial scholarship giving where, and I'm strictly speaking for women's basketball because it's a little bit different for every sport, but on the women's basketball end, you know, it's 15 full scholarships at Division I. Division II, most of them tend to be partial scholarship giving. Division III, there's no academic scholarships. Most of those young ladies are playing for the love of the game or they're on academic scholarships. So those are the three levels.
So, in other words, and they're all at various colleges. Like, in terms of, in terms of CUNY, does each of them have their own team?
Yes, but that's actually one of the things that makes us unique. We're the only Division II CUNY school that there is. All the other CUNY schools are Division III.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to hear. But and I was looking at the when you're playing teams, like, are you going on the road?
We are. We're actually on the road this coming weekend. We're going up to Vermont to play at St. Michael's College in Franklin Pierce.
How does that decide? How does it decide on who plays who? Like, you know, when you in terms of going on the road. I mean, I see you're playing Pace at one point.
We are. So we have a non-conference schedule. We play 20 games within conference. There's 11 teams in our conference. We play 20 games. And the NCAA, at the Division II level, you're basically 26 games is what typically schools play. So we have six games that, you know, we can basically decide who we want to play in the non-conference. So those are just coaches speaking to each other, deciding to play those non-conference games. And typically with scheduling, you know, trying to find a balance of, you know, some games that you think you can win, as well as some more challenging games that, you know, if you are to pick up a win, will definitely help towards your ranking. So it's kind of a balance.
Okay. And when you're traveling out there, how is it funded in terms of, like, you know, I guess you're getting on a bus, right?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes it's vans. So I'm the coach and the driver of the van. This weekend it's vans. Depending on the length of the trip, when we go up to Robert Westland, which is in our conference in Rochester, and then Damon joined our conference last year, and they're in Buffalo. So we typically travel on coach bus in those situations, and, you know, mainly for the safety of the students.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's get back to some more information here. Okay. So what are you looking to do this season?
Well, this season, we hope that we can win the conference this year. You know, we've steadily improved. So, you know, in my second season, you know, we made the playoffs, lost in the first round. You know, last year we made the semifinal game, and this year we're hoping to get to the championship game. So we're hoping to take a step every year, and I think that we're in place that we can do that. So that's kind of the ultimate goal for us.
And in terms of the players, I understand that you don't have any that are seniors. So everybody has, but you do have one freshman. Is that right?
We have two freshmen,
it isn't a
unique year. I mean, you typically do have seniors. Obviously, we have one graduate student who came to us this year, but there's a chance that she can return next year. So. Which is, again, is a really interesting and fun situation to be in. You know, we have a very competitive team right now, so the opportunity to have this team, the exact same team, for another year next season is really exciting as a coach.
So in other words, if somebody's, you know, taking graduate courses at Queens College, they could be on the team?
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, and there's always, you know, some gray areas to rules, but generally speaking, you have basically 4 years of eligibility, and you have 5 years to play for. So there are some students, who sat out a year. Typically, it's an injury reason. So they've only played 3 years of undergraduate. They go on to graduate school and have 1 year of eligibility remaining, and that's kind of the situation that Rachel Shannon is in for us.
Oh, okay. Have you? I don't want to say made a difference. What have you done? Like the cult, you were talking about the change in culture. What was that?
Mm-hmm. When I took on the program, they were a below 500 team. That culture of winning, for lack of a better term, or success, didn't quite exist. So one of the things that they brought me in to do was to try to turn that culture around, so that the administration at the time really believed that Queens College women's basketball could win a conference championship. So they hired me with that, goal in mind. So, from day one, it was trying to change, really changing our culture and our environment was the number one thing in trying to turn this ship around. So, one of the things that I said to, both the players that were here and the ones that we were recruiting is, you can't be okay with being okay. Mediocrity isn't really going to get us success. So, we want people who are going to come in and strive to be better every single day, to improve every single day, work hard every single day, and as well contribute to, the ultimate goal that we have as a team and as a program each season. So that was difficult. I mean, it was a difficult transition for, those who, were recruited by one coach, and then, I come in as another coach or the next coach. And, it's very challenging for those young ladies who are recruited, under a different culture and different goals and objectives at that time, and then to have me come in and say, well, actually, no, this is what we're going to go towards this time. So that was challenging for that group. Every year it's gotten a little bit easier. Success breeds confidence. So as we start to succeed, the players have confidence in what it is that I'm trying to do. So every year it's definitely got a little bit easier doing that. We have standards and expectations, and it really started with having standards and expectations. There's standards for how we're going to behave and how hard we're going to work on and off the court. And we have expectations as well. So trying to get people or, our students up to those standards and expectations was really the battles we were fighting. But now they've become our norm. I mean, so now, this is just how we exist and we function, and there's no questions about it.
And when you talk about, standards of behavior, the team, let's say, I know, with the football team, it was, first, it was a whole bunch of, you're not allowed to swear, mm-hmm. When you're in public, you're not allowed to do this or stuff like that. Is it that type of standards that you say, here's the rules, and when you're here and when you're not here?
It depends on the coach.
Team.
For me, I don't really focus so much on regimented rules. It's more guidelines. The four things that we harp on every day are responsibility, accountability, dependability, and adaptability. So those are really the four things. So, and then they have a contract that they sign in terms of, working hard and working smart and commitment and communication and those types of things. But at the end of the day, we always say them, when in doubt, ask, and never do anything that's going to embarrass, yourself, the institution, your family.
Okay. And you find that it's not a problem?
No, we've done well with that. Typically and characteristically, our student athletes, I have a great group of young ladies that I have the opportunity to work with every day. They've bought in to me as the coach and as the leader of the program. So we knock on wood, have not had really any discipline issues within our program, which has just been wonderful.
Oh, good. Let's talk about some of the players. We had some over there. There was one, the freshman,
Melissa Fumano. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Melissa is a freshman this year. She's coming to us from Syracuse. So she's probably got the furthest distance away. So she's a 6-footer. We're really excited about Mel, to be honest with you, because she gives us a lot of versatility. She's very agile at 6 foot. So we definitely have high expectations for her.
But she's not the tallest, is she? Is she the tallest?
She's not. Mackenzie's our tallest post player. She's a 6'2" post from Albany.
Oh, okay. You know what I what I should have done is I should have taken a picture with the team just to show how tall they are.
In comparison to you?
Yeah. You know, because I have a picture of the team, and I thought, you could look at it and not realize they're tall until somebody that's short. next time I will.
I was going to say, the next time around we'll do that.
Yeah. And tell me about some other players. Who was the VIPs or who did what or, you know.
I'll run down our returners. So our six returners, we'll start with our most seniors, although we don't have senior. So Mackenzie Rowland that I just talked about, she's our 60-post player. She received some great accolades last year, too. She was second-team all-conference, and I believe she was second-team all-met. So for us, she's just a great presence for us under the basket. She's a good, strong, tough player. She's got great footwork, and she's, you know, relatively ambidextrous. So she's definitely a great addition for us, and she gives us a lot of stability down there. We actually have her sister playing for us as well. Madison Rowland is returning. She'll be a sophomore this year. She had a really storied freshman year last year. Broke several records here at Queens College. She is number one right now at Queens College all-time for scoring in a season, and she's number one all-time at Queens College for steals in a season. And not only was she all-time here, but she was number one in the country last year for steals. So she was statistical champion in steals. Yes, she was. And she was also the highest-scoring freshman in the country last year as well. So
hope
she just had a she's outstanding. Well, she will pick your pocket. She definitely steals. But she's an unbelievable athlete. Very bright young lady, and very hardworking young lady. So, you know, she did well for us last year. She was key for us, and obviously we're excited about having her returning this year. And then she actually had a number of conference awards as well. She was Defensive Player of the Year, obviously. And she was first team all conference, and she was rookie of the year as well. So, I mean, she had, six or seven or eight accolades last year, like I said, both within the conference, locally, and regionally. And then Kristen, you met Kristen Korzavinsky. She's a junior this year. She was rookie of the year in her first year as well in the East Coast Conference. And as I said to you before, you know, Kristen is kind of our unsung hero. She doesn't necessarily have eye-popping stats, but we know that we are a heck of a lot better team with Kristen on the floor. Just unbelievable basketball IQ, just so intelligent, and able to make very good decisions in a blink of an eye. So her value is tremendous, and she has made us better from the day she stepped foot in this program. She had a little bit of a she was out 6 weeks last year with a stress fracture, but a credit to her character, she was out 6 weeks. With a stress fracture, came back with one practice, had one practice, came in and played, and literally, I think she had the play of the game to allow us to win that game. So she's just a really tough young lady.
So just passing it to the correct player is important, just as important as scoring or stealing.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things Kristen does well. I mean, when you have the ball in your hand, there's nine other people on the court all moving and cutting and defending and screening. So to be able to read that game and to be able to pass to your teammate, to the right teammate in the right situation on time and on target is a skill of itself. And that's one of the things that Kristen definitely does better than anybody else on our team.
Okay. And we continue with?
We have Liz Gully, and Liz has a great story. We're very proud of Liz. She tore her ACL in her senior year, so she had committed to Queens College, and just a few weeks after she had committed, she had tore her ACL, which took her out for about 6 weeks. You know, we weren't really too concerned. She tore her ACL, I think it was in December or January of her senior year. We thought, well, 6 months, we'll take her to about September, October of our season. She'll have plenty of time to rehabilitate. October 15th is the official start date of basketball across the country, college basketball across the country. About a week or two after that, she re-tore the ACL again in the same knee. So then that took her out for – they wanted her to be out for a year because it was the second time. So she, really didn't play for about 2 years. God love her. I mean, she's just so committed, so dedicated. She had to rehab from that injury back-to-back. Took her out for about 2 years. and she got cleared last year in Christmas, well, December, early December. So she stepped in, I think it was our first conference game. So she really only had about half a season last year, you know, and came in and just gave us so much toughness. You know, she's a local girl from Queens. But, you know, the way that she has battled back from that injury, and not only did she battle back, but she battled back to be in a starting position. I mean, just her guts and determination is great. And she's just a tough kid, and that's why we recruited her. You know, she's someone who has no problem being physical under the basket, you know, taking a hit and giving her hits, rebounding strong. So having her back for the first time, you know, having been able to recover from the injury and actually have a full preseason where she could train has made her so much better. So I think she's on her way to a great season as well. And then we have Joy McFarland coming in, returning point guard. You know, she's just a tremendous ball handler, a very coachable young lady, really hard worker, and just unbelievable ability to handle the basketball and get by people. So she definitely has that ability to get to the basket at will, and she makes us better with that. So that's our sixth. Oh, and then Tawanda Holder returns for us as well. She'll be a sophomore this year. Saw limited minutes last year, but really worked hard this summer, and I think she'll definitely be able to make contributions this year. Those are our six returners.
Oh, that's great. So, but we didn't go down all 12, did we?
No, that's just our six returners.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to talk about the newcomers too?
Yeah.
Well, Melissa Fumana, we talked about six
now
foot forward.
Let me first ask you, like,
sure.
You're going to recruit. Where do you recruit them from?
You know, based on our recruiting budget and our funding, we typically stay in the tri-state area and definitely New York. But I will say one of the great advantages of coaching Division II basketball in New York City is, one, we're the only Division II basketball school in New York City. And two, it's New York City. There's just so much basketball, and there's so many players right at our doorstep that, you know, we haven't had a lot of trouble recruiting within the state. So we definitely recruit New York State first, because there's just so much talent here that we don't really feel like we need to go a lot further. We have at times, you know, we've had two kids from Canada. Me being from Canada, obviously, I always have my nose up there. But that's kind of the region that we've typically stayed in. But we definitely go New York City first, and then Albany has been good to us with the two Rowland sisters. We had a tremendous point guard here a couple years ago, Bria Jackson. You know, she was seventh or eighth in scoring in the country, and she led our conference in scoring, and she led our conference in assists. She's from the Rochester area, so that area has been good to us too, so we tend to look in that area. And, you know, we've wanted to kind of dip our hand into Syracuse, so getting Melissa Fumano from Syracuse was a great addition, one, because of her talent, but two, that's an area that we think that we can have success recruiting as well.
Now, I'm curious about Tully. Did you recruit her from high school?
Elizabeth Gully?
Tully, is that?
Gully, yep, G-U-L-L-Y.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she went to Mary Lewis Academy, so we recruited her out of high school.
Did you go there to recruit her? I'm curious, because we got another coincidence kind of thing going on.
Well, we there was a connection there. At the time, there was a young lady named Christine Harnschweiger who used to be a point guard here at Queens College. She was at the time an assistant coach at Mary Lewis Academy. So she reached out to me when I got hired here and said, you know, I'm a Queens College alum, which obviously I knew who she was. And she said, I think I have a post player that, you know, can help the program and do well in the conference. And since she had played in the conference, you know, I definitely trusted her ability to evaluate. So I went out and watched Liz play a few times, actually. But she was actually at a tournament here locally. I think she was at St. Francis. Francis Lewis. Saw her play and was, you know, completely sold on her within the first 5 minutes of the game.
Oh, cool. I'm going to a show tomorrow, a community theater group. And the person who's been directing for God knows how many years is a teacher at Mary Lewis Academy.
There you
so
go.
I'm going to ask her if she knows her.
I'm sure she does. Liz is that type of young lady who has her hand in everything. Not only is she a great basketball player, but she definitely gets involved in the community. And that's the family that she comes from. Her mom is always volunteering, so I would be surprised if she didn't know her.
Okay. Now, you your, well, I can't say your mentor, but let's talk a little quickly about Lucille Cavallos.
Yes. Coach Cavallos, I would say, is a mentor. I hope that she would consider me a mentee.
Did you think you could, well, honestly, live up to her, or you just hoping to?
No, you know, I never even put that in my mind, to be honest with you. You know, with the things that she had accomplished, she was just so ahead of her time. You know, when I first, I'll kind of backtrack a little bit of the story that I was telling you about previously, but, you know, when I first got the job, one of the things that I did was, you know, look into the history of the school. And the deeper I dove into the history, the more I'm amazed I was at the tremendously rich history of this women's basketball program, and I felt extremely lucky to be chosen as a coach in this program. And then the more I looked into Coach Cavallos and what she did, I mean, just to say a pioneer, I don't even know that it does it justice. I mean, she was so ahead of her time. I mean, she had male practice players before anyone was even there were even any rules on it. You know, she was recruiting faculty members and staff and whoever would come out to play males to try to challenge her team in practice. And now that's something that is done, you know, almost every program does that. But at the time, I would bet that she was probably the only coach at the time doing that. So to say she was ahead of her time is just, it's an understatement. But when I got the job, I reached out to some of the alums. And I've been very lucky in that they've been very, very, they've welcomed me with open arms. And they've been great to me, and we've been able to stay in touch. And that first season, Debbie Mason was being inducted into the New York City Basketball Hall of Fame. And Gail Marquis, who's one of our alums, who actually just got inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame as part of the 1976 Olympic team, she has been wonderful to me, and she reached out and she said, listen, Debbie Mason is being inducted into the New York City Basketball Hall of Fame. She said, I think you've got to come. I'm inviting you to come. You've got to meet my teammates. So sure enough, I went there and, you know, met a lot of the team, that 1973-74 team, kind of that span, and Coach Cavallos was there. So, you know, I just think the world of her. So it was great to meet her. And, you know, we kind of talked through the evening, and on the way out, she had said to me, she said, you know, Bet, she said, I'm really rooting for you. I really want you to do well. And, I'd love to mentor you if you would let me. So I just about hit the floor because I thought, what a great opportunity, and I would be a moron to say no. So she's definitely, you know, she's been very good to me. I definitely, you know, call her and whenever I need some advice or some guidance or, you know, her thoughts. And she's always made herself available to me, always. She returns every phone call. She returns every email. And I could not be more grateful for her experience and her advice.
Well, I see that. We're gonna hope she'll be there in the January game.
She will. You know, we January 4th we're playing at Madison Square Garden. In all honesty, to commemorate, you know, her accomplishments and the accomplishments of her team at that time. So, you know, it was in 1975 was the first. I think it was February 22nd, 1975, was the first women's basketball game ever played at Madison Square Garden, and it was Queens College versus Immaculata College. And what happened was they actually reached out to Coach Cavallos and said, you know, that they wanted to have this game, and they said, well, who would you like to play? And Coach Cavallos, being Coach Cavallos, of course, didn't, you know, pick a local schmuck. She wanted to play against the best. So she said, I want to play Immaculata College. And the rest is history, I guess they say. So we're going to commemorate that game this year, January 4th, Madison Square Garden is part of the Maggie Dixon Classic. Will be the first game. Following us will be St. John's and UConn. And they'll be honoring both the Immaculata's team from that time and our team at that time.
But the St. John's game is just a regular, normal
yes
game, but they just happen to be playing at Madison Square Garden. Do they ever play at Madison
Who's
Square
that?
Garden? St. John's?
St. John's women, I think that they have played there in the past.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know who plays there, you know, in terms of the college teams.
You know, it's more common now for some of those college teams and even high school teams to be playing at Madison Square Garden. But at that time, you know, 1975, as you know, to have a women's game at Madison Square Garden was a,
oh, yeah.
a big deal. But on top of it, it drew 12,000 fans. So it was not only it was historical in the sense that one, the game being played at MSG, but also the draw of 12,000 fans coming out to watch.
That's not the end of the season, is it? Is that the last game of the season, is it?
No, not even close.
Okay.
Typically, we wind up in March, and depending on how far we go, that'll determine how deep into March we play.
Oh, okay, because I was looking on the calendar, and the way it looked like, because I couldn't get, I guess I didn't get past, it looked like it showed the last one of being the game at Madison Square Garden.
No, we have a game the following day as well, so that will be we have a back-to-back grind there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So it doesn't end there. Okay.
No.
But is it?
No.
But is that count, so to speak?
It's an exhibition game.
Okay.
Because we are Division II, and Immaculata is now Division III. When we were working with MSG on the game, you know, they said, you know, let us know who you want to play, which is interesting because it's kind of the same situation that Coach K was in, you know, 40 years ago. And, you know, we just didn't feel right having anyone other than Immaculata there because obviously, you know, they're part of history as well. And that women's basketball program as well is, I mean, they're being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame this coming year as well. So, you know, to play that game without them, I just didn't think was right. So, you know, we gave them a call and, you know, even though we're Division II and they're Division III, we really thought it was the right thing to do, and they're excited about it as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad it's going to last longer than January because I was looking to see, well, how many games am I going to cover? Two, three at home? This doesn't look like a lot.
I think we have 11 or 12 home games this year.
Oh, okay. It's 11 or 12 times I'll be working.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll get your photo.
We definitely gonna have to do that, just for my blog, really, just to show. Is there anything else that you want to put out there?
You know, we just hope that people will come to the game. It's a great opportunity, one, for our players, but two, just to, you know, I think honor the past. You know, pay homage to women's basketball and where it's been. And where we are now, we would just love to see people come out to that game and support it. It would just mean a lot to women's basketball in general.
So, and by the way, what do you do? Buy tickets? What is the? We show up, or it's free, or what's the?
You
story?
Can buy tickets. To be honest with you, you can Google it online. It's very easy to find. Madison Square Garden, through Madison Square Garden's website, you can certainly buy tickets. And there's a wide range of tickets. Depending on where you want to sit, they're very, very affordable seating.
And is anybody, like if I want to get for myself, am I dealing with a public relations from Madison Square Garden or to come
well,
to
you
game?
Can also purchase it through us as well. So, you know, you can contact Queens College Athletics as well, and we can certainly help out.
Okay. Also, in terms of the games at Queens College, what's the status? I mean, you buy tickets or they're free?
Free for students. Free for students, for Queens College students. Free for everyone under 12, I believe, as well. And then for adults, it's $5 a game. There's no advanced ticketing. You know, just show up to the game and you could pay at the door.
Oh, okay. I have some ideas that I'll tell you about.
Perfect.
Little public relation kind of stuff. Okay. Well, I appreciate what's the website?
QCKnights.com.
Okay. Okay, great. So, all right. So, I guess I'll probably
talk to you before. Excuse me, QueensKnights.com. I'm looking at the wrong thing. QueensKnights.com.
QueensKnights.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. You got it. All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. Also, do you find that a lot of people come to the home games?
You know what? The better we do, the better our draw. So every year we've definitely had an improvement in games. You know, but usually we have a few hundred people here at the games.
Or do you, and just a question, do you find, let's say, that people come to a game because they just like basketball, or, you know, or more of like supportive kind of thing?
You know, we have a great mixture. I mean, we have a lot of local, you know, club teams, AAU teams, who come because we are their local team. We're very affordable, obviously, and, you know, under 12, you're coming in for free. So you get a chance to see great quality of basketball at no charge. And you know, Division II institutions, so it's a smaller venue, so you can get very close to the court, obviously. And then we have those who come because they want to support our student-athletes. I mean, they're very active on campus. So, you know, friends and family definitely come out and support. So you do have a mixture in terms of, you know, why people are coming to the games, it's a nice blend.
Okay. All right. I'll come up with some ideas. I don't want to battle with you. Do you have somebody that does the publicity?
We do. Oh. We just hired a new external relations person, so we can definitely connect you.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Do that.
I will.
Okay, great. All right, it was fabulous talking with you, and now I can get this out there. I'm gonna send you email the photo, the team photo that I took, and if you could just do like from left to right and whatever kind of thing, because I'm sure they're gonna want it. You know, like, so who are they? And I'm looking at another photo. I'm going, I think that's that one. I think that's
no problem,
I mean?
I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you soon. And thanks a lot, Beth, for calling.
Thanks for having me. All the best.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes. So, yep, it's women's basketball. And let's see if we can make a name for the team. Again, the Queens College team. My alumni. So, well, I'm going to end the show right now because I have to go someplace. Today, Zum Stammtisch is a German restaurant in Queens, and they have opened a pork store that's abutting it. And so I'm going to check out and see what you can get regarding German food. So until next time, have a nice day, afternoon or whatever. Keep yourself warm. First it was keep yourself cold, keep yourself warm.